Well, it's nice to be back at the Innisbrook Resort here in beautiful Palm Harbor, Florida. And Len, you and I, for once with the Zeman Spears podcast series, we have a special guest today.
Yes, this is a real honor here. We're back at one of our favorite places, the Innisbrook Resort, where I think we've been back here for golf tournaments and media days and other news events and everything. Doug Schmidt has been right there with us until he took the liberty of retiring. But it's good to have old home week because Doug's a good friend, and it's good to see him again.
Well, it sure is. And, of course, both of us go back with Doug all the way to Kemper Sports in Chicago and Charleston Partners in South Carolina. And now we know him as the guy who turned us on to some of the best onion rings in America, what they make right here at the Innisbrook Resort. Doug, how are you? Doug Schmidt, good to have you with us.
It's really nice to see you guys, particularly in person. So welcome to the free state of Florida.
Well, we love Florida. It's a wonderful place. And you know, the thing that maybe started this whole story and this podcast and this adventure to Innisbrook was the fact that the PGA merchandise show this year went into the virtual format because of the pandemic. But the way they sold it was, hey, you don't need to come to Florida. You don't have to come to Florida. You can sit in the comfort of your own home. You can sit in the comfort of your own office. There's no need to come to Florida. What they missed the part about the fact that they're talking about golf, and a lot of people who want have something to do with golf know that they can't do it up north in January. So they want to come to Florida. And Doug, that's something I'm sure that you've been selling for years when you were here in the sales department, was come to Florida because you can play golf here when it's like five above in Chicago and there's snow piles.
Well, that's exactly right. I couldn't believe when I came down here. In fact, I walked into the golf shop my first day here, and I said to the guys in the shop, what kind of a jacket do you need down here? I was moving down from Charleston, having previously been in Chicago. Well, you know, 6 months of the year in Chicago, we didn't even have a chance to play. So I came down from Charleston. I said, what kind of jacket do I need? And they said, with or without sleeves. And I thought, I'm in the right place.
Yeah.
And they said, get it without sleeves, and you'll only need it for 9 holes. And then you'll take it off 5 times a year. And they were right. They were right.
Well, Doug, you had to adapt to a different style of body of water when you came here because you had a lake in Chicago and Michigan. You had an ocean in South Carolina, Charleston, and you have a gulf over here in Innisbrook and Palm Harbor. So I'm sure that had to figure in to everything you did and your apparel style here at the Innisbrook Resort.
Well, that's absolutely right. And shorts, the question is shorts or long pants, and I only have a couple pair of long pants anymore. It really is shorts, and that's a pleasure. I mean, that's a joy to be able to do golf every day, fish every evening.
Well, Lenny, you've been coming here for years, and you've actually been here, I believe, for the Valspar Championship. Tell us what it's like to be back over here at Innisbrook, one of the great historical golf properties in Florida.
Yeah, you know, this place brings back a nostalgic memories for me, and I was really picking Doug's brain about a very legendary Chicago. And this is a resort that has very deep roots in Illinois people. The owner, Sheila Johnson, went to the University of Illinois, longtime Chicago resident. Two of the champions of the Valspar tournament, Luke Donald and Kevin Streelman, are Chicago people. Most important, though, this is really the key to the whole thing. The designer of all four courses here was the legendary Larry Packard. He lived to be 101. I know Doug has got a lot of good Larry Packard material. This is an important year here at Innisbrook because they last year was going to be their 50th anniversary. Couldn't be celebrated then. So this is 50 plus one. And the memories of Larry Packard have got to be bubbling up about this time.
Well, Doug, you were probably around a little bit last year, and being a part of this resort and the Valspar Championship for years, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're just like 72 hours away from Valspar Championship week, and all of a sudden the PGA Tour goes into the shutdown mode. What was it like around here? What were people like? I mean, I'm sure there's some people just, you know, you've put a lot of hard work into the setup and the preview. You had to be devastated.
Well, I think it was hard for the tournament staff. Back in the day, I was involved with Kemper when we ran the Women's Kemper Open in Hawaii. And I can't imagine getting the word 72 hours, as you said, that we're shutting it down because all that work for the previous 12 months kind of goes out the window. And then you have all those questions. But there's such a talented team here that does the Valspar. You know, I'm just proud of everything that they've done. And I know the pros appreciate Copperhead so much. I remember when I was here and thinking, asking some of the pros what they thought. And I remember one of the quotes was, "This is the best course that we play." And one of the other reporters said, "In Florida?" And he said, "No, that we play on tour." I mean, it's so respected. It's so renowned. And I think the kudos go to Larry Packard, who designed something that the three of us can play and have fun and have a chance. And it can still challenge the greatest players in the world. I remember them saying, "If you give me 8 under, I'll take it and not even play." It's just that kind of a quality of course.
Well, Doug, for years, you were selling golf packages here at Innisbrook, and not just on Copperhead where the pros play, but the Island course, the North and the South courses that are here. And right now, I got to believe that's the key for this resort because of what's changed in our new modern world during the pandemic. But it has led for opportunities for people to play golf because it gives them a way to get outside. It gives them a way to have something to do. It gives them the way to incorporate and hang out with their friends and the people that they normally do things with. And right now, rounds of golf are going through the roof. People are buying equipment. And it seems like the one thing they're still doing is they're taking golf trips. And I'm sure right now that's what this resort needs to sell. And if you were still here, that's what you'd be selling.
That definitely is the focus. It is a place to bring. I know my brother brings a group of 16 engineers from Northrop Grumman. They come down and they've tried all the places that you could think of around the country. And they said, "You come to Innisbrook, 4 guys check into a massive 2-bedroom condominium with a giant living room area. You can comfortably social distance if you want to. You play 4 courses. As you talked about, we've got the North and South courses. We've got the Island course, which might be even harder than Copperhead. And then, of course, we have Copperhead. Once you drop off your clubs, you never touch them. It's unbelievable. You don't have to worry about a thing. You just show up for your tee time."
That sounds like something you do during a pandemic. You don't touch things.
Exactly. You don't touch things. That's good. That's good.
Well, Len, I know that, well, you've been here and you've played golf and you've played all of the golf courses. You've also had a little time to sample the restaurants. And you mentioned Larry Packard before, but Larry's name's on one of the restaurants here. And tell us a little bit about that dining experience over there that honors Larry.
Oh, we're having dinner tonight at Packard's. Great steakhouse. You know, Larry Packard was really quite a guy. I mean, he's a legend here, but he really is a legend back in Chicago as well with the things he did there. But doing 4 courses here, I believe his son Roger was here. Roger passed on shortly after his dad did. Right here at Innisbrook, they were really big friends and big fans of what goes on here. But the Packard restaurant is a tribute to Larry. The food is great, and the atmosphere is even better. It's something to really for anybody to come and really look forward to. We've generally been coming to here, I think, probably about 7-8 years for one reason or another in a row, long before we became Florida residents. So Doug and I go back way further than that. But being around here really with the Packards and the golf courses here really is kind of walk back in memory lane for me.
Well, Len, you mentioned a couple of Chicago area winners here at this championship, and Kevin Streelman and Luke Donald. I know you've interviewed both of them numerous times over the years. Did any of them really ever speak about what it meant to win here at Innisbrook, to win the Valspar Championship?
Well, you know, it's funny. They did it back-to-back, and I suppose that in a way, with Luke, that was right in his run towards number one, a key thing there. I think, though, that probably it meant more to Kevin, I'm sure, because that was his first PGA Tour victory. He's only won one other time since then, but he's had a lot of close finishes. He's, you know, gone to the Tour Championship. I know we can expect him here in another month. He's back in action this week at the Players after a couple weeks of laying off. So it's funny that they came in back-to-back years, those two guys. But and I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin can go off and can win it again. I'm pulling for him. He's our guy on tour now in Chicago, and it all started here at Innisbrook.
Doug, when you were here working and you'd go to the Valspar every year and you'd see the course conditioning, more often than not, this championship was usually held around the second week of March. Tell us about Florida Golf and the conditions that these players might see now, seeing that they're going to see the course 5 to 6 weeks later on the calendar. How much better will Copperhead be in shape and ready for Valspar week?
It's hard to imagine that it could be any better than it is right now, but I'm sure it will be. We're entering a time now where it starts to get a little bit drier. And I know they're talking about that at the Players' Championship. Firm and fast. That's going to make it so exciting to be able to see him play. So you don't have that. Sometimes earlier in the year, it's a little softer. The course has been overseeded. It's a little point-to-point sometimes. But I think we're going to see a very fast track coming up for this year's Valspar.
This is a golf course, though. It seems like it can be the great neutralizer, because it doesn't matter whether you're Dustin Johnson or when Tiger Woods played here a few years ago, Rory McIlroy. The leaders are all kind of bunched. There's not one guy at 20 under par with everybody else back at 12. It seems like there's always a group right at the top. And if it's a guy who's new on tour, or it's somebody who's got three or four majors to their name, they're all kind of in that group battling for the title here when they get out on Copperhead.
I think that's absolutely right. I think Tiger's quote was, "It's a course I can't overpower." And you can't. You guys played it today, so you know what it's like on those dog legs. You can drive yourself into a bad spot, you know, thinking number two, thinking number 16. You have to manage your golf ball. And it doesn't just go in one direction. Larry was very good, as Len said today. He said, "I think I used every club in my bag." That's not unusual. That's kind of the way he designed it. Now, the players today are so long, it's hard to relate to, but to think that every par three on Copperhead from the back tees plays over 200 yards, and they're not easy. So I think it's a perfect test. I love it. There's no blind shots. The frustrating thing sometimes for us as amateurs is every hole is birdieable. It's within our control. But yet somehow we make that bogey or double bogey. You know, the greens are fair. If you hit below the pin, all you have to, you know, that's your chance. You can't go above the hole. But they're fair. They're not humped. They're not bumped. It's not tricked up. It's right out in front of you. And I think the pros really appreciate that.
Well, with all the golfers that have come down from the cold north this winter and come here and play golf, and the amount of people that are playing golf right now, I think Len would agree with me that the greens that we putted on today, didn't it almost look like nobody had played them all year? They were in that kind of mint condition.
Oh, yeah. This tournament is, it's really, you know, you alluded to it. But it's a classic shot makers golf course. Of course, it was in great shape today. And listen, they've got another basically 5 or 6 weeks to get it even, fine-tune it even more. So I like the new dates that they have. I don't know that, I don't know how it's taken around here, but I really like the fact that they're playing later. I think it's going to give, not just being part of the usual Florida swing of tournaments, this is going to come post-Masters, post-Heritage, at a kind of a real interesting time of the year. I think it's going to be a really refreshing change for golf in general, but especially Valspar. I think they're going to love it.
Doug, we talked at lunch today, and we were having a discussion about Bryson DeChambeau and him taking a shortcut that he did last weekend, a route to victory at Bay Hill. Now, I'm gonna call in your expertise on Copperhead. If you're Bryson DeChambeau and you come out here and you're looking for a hole with that shortcut where you're going to hit it 350 yards and cut around the corner, where's the optimal place on Copperhead to actually go hit a shot like that and maybe guarantee yourself a birdie or maybe even an eagle if it's one of the par five holes?
Well, these guys go for everything. The one par five that is the most unreachable on Copperhead is number five. It's uphill on the first two shots and down and to the left on your approach shot. So that's a very challenging, problematic hole. But again, it's hard for me to relate to exactly what he's looking at and what he can see. You think of the second hole on Copperhead, the dogleg left with the elevated green. You'd never in your wildest dreams think about hitting it there. You'd think, I want to be center fairway right so I don't get blocked out on the left by the trees. I've got a reasonable short iron in. I wouldn't be shocked to see him go for that. I really wouldn't.
Take the trees right
take
out of
play. Take the trees out of play.
And just go over them.
Yeah, just like he did. Just like he did at Bay Hill. Take the trees right out of play. Take it right over the top. I loved in that video. I just saw it again this morning. When he hit that shot, he knew immediately. He threw his hands up in the air before the ball had even hit its apex. It was a great reaction shot. But again, that's, you know, we think back in history how far Jack Nicklaus would hit it first, how far Arnold Palmer would hit it, then how far Jack Nicklaus would hit it, and then Greg Norman came. And he would do some things. We were reminiscing about the 18th hole at Kemper Lakes that hosted a PGA championship won by Payne Stewart, the unreachable 18th hole. It was so unreachable, we planted additional trees to make sure no one could reach it. And when Norman heard about that, he teed up a ball on his pencil for his scorecard and knocked it right on the green, to the chagrin of Mr. Kemper forever. but they look at it completely different, Rory. It's a different game. And they can do some things that you wouldn't even imagine.
Doug, during your run here at Innisbrook, you know, we talked about selling golf packages, but you sold a lot of sales and business packages too. And of course, some of those groups, yeah, they're incorporating golf in with business. And right now, there's a lot of questions on how that is going to return to society and the business world once the pandemic kind of dies down a little bit further. But if you're looking at a business option, you're saying, okay, we've all been on Zoom for over a year or a year and a half. It's time to get back and shake some hands and see people face to face again. How great is Innisbrook as an option for doing something like that?
Well, I think we saw with the Super Bowl that was hosted in Tampa that was so successful. I just saw a report this morning, one of the tourism reports that's come out, that Tampa is leading the way in coming back. And I think that's in part because of the weather. But I think as we, Lord willing, reach a herd immunity and people feel free to travel once again and get together, I think there's a tremendous pent-up demand to meet in person. I mean, I can't tell you how much fun I'm having today because I'm here with you guys. I'm not on the phone with you. I'm not on my computer talking to the screen.
Yeah.
And so I think that's going to be something that companies are going to want to do. And you can certainly do it very successfully here at Innisbrook. You don't have to be a golfer. I mean, we're sitting in one of the three conference halls that we have. And so no matter how big the business or the meeting is, it can be accommodated in one of the halls. And people, again, have their own condominiums, great restaurants. You don't have to leave the property. It's very safe, very secure, and nature to die for, really. Beautiful, beautiful nature.
Well, today, while Len and I were having lunch, we had lunch with Ramona Harold, who does public relations here and now also golf marketing and memberships. But one of the things that she brought up, how this resort can be really special, is weddings. And Doug, I'm sure during your sales time here that you put together a few wedding packages for people as well. And tell us, where do you do a wedding here? I mean, I'm sure you could always have a backdrop setting on one of the golf courses, things like that. But what does Innisbrook offer when you're trying to say you got 200 people coming for the most important day of maybe two people's lives?
I think one of the prettiest spots I've ever seen for a wedding is near the 10th tee of the Island Golf Course. We have a banyan tree there that is, I called it the wedding tree. And it's got the Spanish moss hanging down. And if you time the wedding ceremony to when the sun's setting, that Spanish moss just looks like it's on fire. It's the most beautiful, elegant spot. And of course, you have the lake in the background as well, and all the beautiful trees. I can't think of a better setting. And then depending on the size of the reception, you could do it right there in the Island Clubhouse, which is pretty convenient, pretty nice. Or you could use one of the ballrooms and have up to, 1,500 people if you want, depending on the size of the weddings. We've hosted some of the most elegant Indian weddings, very elaborate, at our Inverness Hall, again, because of the awe and grandeur of the spot. But we'll have to get you some pictures of that wedding tree, because it's really special.
Well, Len, I know that you have traveled basically coast to coast to see golf travel destinations. But as we know, destination properties more often than not incorporate more than golf, because sometimes some of the people in the traveling party don't play. It could be the wife. It could even be the husband these days. With all the ladies that are now playing golf, they might be teeing it up and their husband has other plans. The kids are there. Maybe they're not quite junior golfers yet. But how does Innisbrook stack up compared to a lot of the places you've seen, not just here in Florida, but basically around the country as well?
Well, right near the top of around the country, and probably by my book, it's the number one in Florida, I mean, for variety. Because, and it's not just the property here and the good restaurant and the four golf course. It really isn't. Innisbrook is near things. They've got the city of Tampa's right there. It's other Florida, but it's not far from Orlando. I like South Florida. I've been enjoying life there for the last few years. That's the thing. It's not just, you don't just go through the borders and the gates and come into Innisbrook. You can go back out and come back. There's a lot of things to do here. It kind of sets itself apart. I love the Copperhead course. Really got to know the island course this week, and I don't want to offend anybody here, but I kind of like that one as much, if not more, than Copperhead at the moment. It's the variety, I think, that sets Innisbrook apart from the other Florida places.
Well, Doug, right now we've heard that Tampa Bay, and there's some people down here are saying, hey, we're the city of champions. We've got the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers, they went through a hard fight against your Green Bay Packers to get to the Super Bowl.
Too soon, Roy, too soon.
But also, the Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup. And you got to give credit to the Tampa Bay Rays, who made it all the way to the seventh game of the World Series. And as we well know in Chicago, some organizations don't get to the World Series every year or every decade or every five decades or every century or things like that. So if you're a sports fan, you could come down here. You could see some spring training. You can see the spring golf circuit, the Pro Tours marching through Florida. And it seems like Innisbrook's right in the area. If you're a sports fan, it's the place to be.
Well, I totally agree. I mean, for many years, we're the home of the Toronto Blue Jays. They're here in Dunedin. Just down the road, another 5 minutes, you've got Clearwater, the home of the Phillies. If you head over to Tampa, you've got Little Yankee Stadium over there, Steinbrenner Field, can see the Yankees, plus all the teams that come to play with them. Play a golf. You can play a round of golf in the morning. Go see a spring training game in the afternoon and maybe get a little charter cruise or something in the afternoon. Makes it a lot of fun to be able to do that. You're not stuck.
All three of us here, we've talked about Copperhead. A lot of people know it. You know, that's your opportunity. Play where the pros play. The Valspar Championship's going to be here in about 5 weeks. We're going to see that at national TV. The Island course is incredible in its own way. But you've got two other golf courses here that maybe a lot of people don't know about. And with the demand for golf these days, tee sheets are filling up. Tell us a little bit about North and South, because in their own way, both of them are not only a fun, but a good test of golf for people.
Well, they really are. And in the original Larry Packard design for Copperhead, it was a 27-hole design. So when they carved out the 18 that now makes up Copperhead, there were 9 holes that they incorporated into what is now our North course. So some have referred to it as Little Copperhead. And you can see some of those same elements that Larry Packard did on Copperhead on the North course. I believe, if my memory's correct, there's 5 par threes there, which I enjoy playing that. There's a chance to score. It's the only course I've ever shot in the 70s on, so I'm still very proud of that, and I'll always claim it. That's the North course. And it's not overly long, but it's a shot maker's course. Story about the North course. When the Outback folks were sponsoring the senior tour event, the Outback Celebrity over at the Tampa TPC, before the week of that event, to play practice rounds, I remember seeing Hale Irwin, Gil Morgan, all these guys coming in. And I thought, why are they checking in at the Osprey? Because they wanted to play on the North course, which was a tighter driving situation, and they felt that that prepared them better for going over to the TPC than playing on Copperhead. And that blew my mind. I mean, they can obviously play anywhere they want, but they would do that to prepare. And then we have the South Golf Course, which is a number of the newest holes that we have. That's relative, newest holes. A little more open, a little more freewheeling. Of course, you like to play when you've been shoveling snow for 3 months. and you just come down. So we used to joke that I played the South Course and I can really play. And then I played the Island and I got to give up the game. But then I went to the North and I'm a champion. And then I went to Copperhead and I need to come back. So it kind of can do that. But again, to have that kind of variety and so well designed, again, Larry Packard did such a nice job. I think he loved golfers. He wanted to challenge us. He always said, easy bogey, hard par. Easy bogey, hard par. And so I respected that because, you know, we've all been to courses where it's, you know, easy bogey, easier double bogey, where they're just too hard to play. And that's, for me, that's not fun anymore. And the variety of tees gives us a chance. I love now that I can go to those white tees and have a chance to play approach shots that the pros play.
Well, Doug, a final question here for our segment. You got to spend some time with Larry Packard while he was a resident here, talk to him, do some interviews about the golf courses he designed here. In closing, give us a great Larry Packard story about Larry Packard and Innisbrook Resort.
Oh, I remember when we were commemorating the Copperhead after they had done some major programs on it. Bryson proofing, Tiger proofing back in the day, some of the holes, the church pews at number 18, right? Some of those things, the bunker on the par 5/11th to the left side, so they couldn't just blow it over there. And I remember we wanted Larry Packard to hit the commemorative shot. And I want to say he was in his late 90s to hit his commemorative shot. And of course, he was wearing his plaid jacket, which he had been given as the first president of the Golf Course Architect Society of America. He was wearing his blazer. He got up on the first tee at Copperhead, and we all kind of held our breath, and he striped one right down the middle of the fairway, about 220. And he turned and said, "Do you want me to do it again?" And we all said, "No, that's good. That's so good. That's just perfect."
Well, this has been Volume 7 of Zeman Spears. We appreciate our special guest. Our first special guest as part of our podcast series, Doug Schmidt, longtime sales representative here at Innisbrook Resort. We want everybody who enjoyed this, hopefully you'll stick around to listen to Zeman Spears Part 2 at Innisbrook, coming up within a day or so with General Manager Mike Williams. Again, from Len and Rory and Doug, thanks for listening.